Hey everybody, I'm Luke and welcome back to The Breakdown. Maybe you're joining us for the first time, but The Breakdown is just where we come together and we discuss what happened on a Sunday. And let me tell you, a lot happens on a Sunday. We're recording on Tuesday. I went and re-listened to pretty much all of Sunday. And it's amazing to see how the Lord's hand is in everything. From the worship, the words that are shared, just the hearts of the people as we come together as a body to the message. And so I just want to encourage you, if you have the time, which all of us do have the time, that's one of the lies we tell ourselves, that we don't have time. But if you can find the time in your week, go back and listen and just, you know, revisit what the Lord has done. And today I am joined by Jamal Wheeler. Jamal, welcome.
What's up? How you doing?
So good to have you.
I'm glad to be here. Especially with you, Luke.
It's awesome. For those of you who might not know, Jamal and I have known each other for a long time. Long time.
I don't even know how long.
Yeah. Jamal knew me when we were singing in choir back at Calvary.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was like Dave asking me how long I've been walking with the Lord and chasing after him. I'm like, I couldn't do the math in that moment, so I got nothing on the math right now.
Yeah, I know, but it's just really cool how the Lord has worked in your life, in my life, and how we grow in Him. Yeah. And I feel like that's the heart of this message, that as you give yourself to the Lord, He imparts His Spirit to you, you get that new nature, and then you're on this journey of Him guiding you and shaping you into the image of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like it was a really good teaching from Kurt. Like, he really took it and broke it down that that's not necessarily something that we haven't all heard, but how he conceptualizes it for us, how he like puts it out to us, and we can see a picture of it, was really, really phenomenal. I absolutely adored that on Sunday. It was great. It was my favorite Kurt message so far.
Oh, absolutely. I love listening to Kurt. Yeah. I appreciate all of our pastors.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, each one of them has their own voice that's been given to them by the Lord. And when we get to listen to each one of them, we get that full counsel
of what the Lord has
provided to us as a body.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So in worship, there was one thing that you brought up.
You scared me. I thought you were yelling at me. Sorry.
No, not at all. in worship, there was something that you brought up that I just wanted to take a little bit of a deeper dive on. And you shared how like the Lord showed you that people are not always, that we're not always preparing ourselves to come into worship. Mm-hmm. Could you take us back to that moment, that conversation?
That was kind of a tough one. And it was a little bit dealing with, to be honest, like some of our church family, and then some stuff that's been in my heart. He's been like resonating that same thing, that certain stuff I've seen in my own heart. It's like he's pointing out to me in other places. And then I go back to my own heart and I'm like, oh, I saw that today. And that's actually in my heart too. So there was a place of, he was talking to me and really started asking me just kind of a line of questioning, almost like the Job line of questioning, like, how do you anticipate that I accept your offering when ... How do you anticipate that you come in and not have washed yourself and not have cleansed yourself, you know, in the blood? Joshua says to consecrate yourself because in a few days he's going to do miracles. And I think that it's the same concept that there ought to be something on Friday after you get out of work that says consecrate, because anything could happen on Sunday. Anything is possible when the people of God get together and they're speaking one language and they're saying hallelujah together. Anything is absolutely possible. And so there was a place where he started to admonish me with those kind of questions of, you know, how do you cuss your wife out on the way to work, on the way to church, and I accept your offering? How do you cuss out the hospitality on the way in,
right,
and I accept
your
offering? You know, things like that. And I really had to take a step back and say, okay, Lord, how are we preparing ourselves in order to not to come into the sanctuary? How are we preparing ourselves to be the sanctuary?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the preparation we're looking for, that he is looking for.
Mm-hmm. And I think it can be easy for us to fall into this idea of like, well, I have to consider that if I'm going to be the one going to serve, But, you know, like there are some weeks where, you know, I'm not doing the worship team. I'm not doing the cafe. I get to come to church.
Yep.
And even on those weeks, I just find myself like, if something occurs like the day before, or if there's something in my heart that the Lord's dealing with, I'm like, God, let's deal with this now.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to come into church, you know, free and clear, even though in Jesus, I am free and clear,
absolutely.
But this is all from a place of not punishment by the Lord, but discipline.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So I totally get that. And then, you know, Jesus reinforces this, in Matthew. In Matthew 5, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 23, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." What I think is interesting, too, there is how it's just if you know that your brother has something against you.
Right.
So maybe you actually offended him.
Right.
Or maybe it's even
right.
you didn't do anything unjust to him.
I really hate this verse.
It's tough.
It makes me so mad.
It's really, really tough.
In Matthew 18, and we'll get to that because Pastor Kurt did a great job with that as well. But that is if you have aught with your brother. But Matthew 5 says, if you know that your brother has aught with you, then you've got to drop your offering and deal with that. And I think that that's harder than going to a person like when you have something that I'm like, that's irrelevant. Still biblically, I'm supposed to come and deal with that before the Lord wants to accept my offering.
Right. Right. And then in Mark 11, this is in verse 25, Jesus says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you for your offenses." So again, like we have this truth that in our worship, in our communion with God, we are to allow His presence to bring these convictions to our mind.
Sure.
And then it's not just enough to be convicted; we then have to go and walk this out.
Sure. Yeah. I was listening to, I think, Jonathan Cahn recently, and he was talking about the word repent in Hebrew and how we always say that it's like a turning around.
Mm-hmm.
And he described it so different, and it just made me think of this, but he described it as like turning away, like walking away from what you came from, but burning it down so that it no longer exists for you to go back to. And I think that that's like some of the depth of the forgiveness piece. Is like really, really, I got to prepare myself by, like, that's real repentance. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to that place. I don't want to allow a blockage. So I'm going to burn that house down so that I can't even go back and try to live there.
Right.
There's nothing that exists there anymore. And I walk away from that.
Mm.
And that to me is like, the depth of that was so real. Again, in the preparing ourselves space. So often we're leaving the plan B or the extra option in the background just in case Jesus doesn't quite work out. Like just in case he doesn't heal like I wanted to deliver like I want him to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of the preparedness literally is just burning the old thing down.
Absolutely.
And letting all things be new in him.
Yeah. And you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, this sounds like so much work. I don't do a good job of this. What if I forget something? Well, these verses encourage us because it's in that place of prayer, in that place of worship, that this remembrance comes to mind.
Sure, sure, sure.
So the presence of God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, if you are a believer, it is when you give space to Him that He starts to show you, oh yeah, this needs to go.
Yeah.
You need to go talk to that person. Yeah. My heart isn't for division. My heart is for reconciliation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's just like Dave Andrade, one of our elders who shared, said, it's like God does all the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank God for that.
Amen.
Because it was a lot of work. I don't think I could have done the work. But also, Luke, like you were saying on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, you need to be in worship and in prayer and in the word. Otherwise, you're waiting until Sunday to figure out whether he's going to accept the offering or not. You're you're waiting until Sunday to figure out your convictions,
right.
And,
exactly.
And letting him speak to you. It's like, mm-hmm. he can only speak on Sunday. No, he can do that all through the
week. All the time.
And if you will prepare yourself to have that happen, mm-hmm. he wants to do that.
Right. And that's why I think it's so important that we confront that lie that I don't have time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you don't have time for this, then what do you have time for?
What
other things should we be giving our attention than to that primary relationship,
which is
what feeds us, which is Jesus is the one who is defining our identity.
Yeah. Most people would say they don't have time because of resource. And I would say that you got to be careful of that mammon thing.
It's
really hard to serve two masters. So you have to decide.
Break that down for us.
Oh, man.
Yeah, break that down for us.
I don't have that much of a breakdown. However, what I will say is, again, you just have to know where your source actually is, right? If your job is your source, then yeah, you're going to serve that and you're going to bow down to it. And when they say you have to be here on Sunday morning, you're going to be there on Sunday morning.
Right.
If you serve Jesus, then you understand that he is actually your source, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. There's nothing that I'm lacking.
Yes.
Even when I feel like I'm lacking something, there's nothing that I'm lacking. And so I think that is kind of some of the balance. Again, I most of the people that I know that say that they don't have time, it's because they're trying to make money somewhere.
Right.
And I think that's just the real fine line. That's dicey.
But what's so cool about this, and you mentioned it in worship, is when our attention is shifted to the Lord and he starts to do these things in our heart, then it starts to play out in our job.
Sure.
So that place that you've been giving your heart to, when you give your heart to Jesus, from that place of transformation inside of you, you now then get to be part of transforming that environment. Like you said, how cool would it be if everyone at your job got saved?
Yes, sir. It would be life transformative that you would be able to walk into that place. And I think about it because, of course, I work at the church, but I love coming into work every day. Like it just is a beautiful thing because I know the people that I'm coming in with. I know that I can get prayer when I need to,
and
things like that. What I was thinking when you said that, Luke, is your heart and your treasure go to the same place. They're married, right?
Yes.
And so where I was thinking, if you treasure your job and treasure the people at your job, giving your heart to Jesus actually pulls them closer to Jesus. I know we don't use the scripture in that way, right? But if your heart is with Jesus, then your treasure is going to get pulled along. And so those people that you treasure that aren't saved, they should come along with your heart as it's tugged more in line with Jesus. And hopefully they pull in line with that too. So again, be the sanctuary. Don't just come to the sanctuary. Be the sanctuary. At your job, be the sanctuary. At Walmart, be the sanctuary. And if your heart is really with Jesus, again, the treasure will come right along inside it.
And that's the heart of the Father, is that the Holy Spirit, his presence would be poured out on all flesh.
On
so
all
that's
flesh.
Us.
Yes, sir.
So when Jamal says, be the sanctuary, that's what he's saying. Like, as a New Testament believer, you literally are the sanctuary of God.
Yeah, where the presence of God wants to live.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So now we come to a powerful message by Pastor Kurt on spiritual maturity. And, you know, he really summed it up where he says, you know, spiritual maturity doesn't result in religiosity or doing religious things. It results in love. That we would all grow up into the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus said. The world will know you are my disciples.
Absolutely.
As you have love one for another.
Right. And again, we have a generation that's looking for a sign to know that we're Christians. It's like they want the miracles and the healing and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm like, it's a difficult space, because if you were waiting for that with the Egyptians, when the plagues happen, the first couple of them, they reproduce.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a sign, you'll be tricked. You've got to be looking for what Jesus says is the picture of the church, loving one another.
Amen.
And again, I think that was part of the preparedness, as we kind of talked about it, is how are you loving your spouse when you come in? How are you loving each other when you come in to get a chair, a seat in the sanctuary?
Yeah.
How are you loving hospitality on your way in? How are you loving the people you're driving past? How are you loving the people at the cafe? I think that is why people come into HPC and say, something is different here. Something is like, actually doesn't feel the same, because there's like a depth of love that I just never felt anywhere else.
Yeah.
With this many people, I'm like, I am almost too loved, if there is such a thing.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah, I was meeting with Roger and Holly and our youth leadership team.
Yeah.
We were meeting yesterday, and it came up how, like, on Friday, we had 75
how crazy is that?
Kids at United. That was our biggest night ever. And we've started getting a lot of, like, unchurched kids, yeah, where this is their first encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
And our youth, like, they don't hold back. Like, our worship is just like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It is absolutely, it's exactly the same.
Yes.
And so you have all these, like, these kids for whom this is their first time encountering anything like this.
Yeah.
But because our youth are so committed to going after the presence of God in an unashamed way, it creates this environment where the presence of God is hosted. Mm-hmm. And then people are drawn towards it. And
absolutely,
you know, Jesus says, I will draw all men unto me.
Yes.
And it's through us. But that's part of our growing into spiritual maturity is love for him, his love, then it being imparted into our hearts. And then from that place, we start to attract the world.
Sure. At least we should.
Yes. Yes.
If you're not, then you should probably question, wonder a little bit.
Amen.
And Pastor Zach has been saying that the past few weeks. It's, yeah, like there's a lot of spiritual activity happening in the building. And so there are some Sunday mornings where you come in and you're like, what is the heaviness? What is that, mm-hmm, weirdness in the atmosphere? And it's because the presence of God is like a light that attracts the bugs. Like, mm-hmm, everything,
yeah,
realistically is attracted to the presence of God. And so as all the way down to the youth. I mean, if you sit in our chapel at King's Academy,
yeah,
and you hear those kids sing to Jesus, you're like, okay, man, like this is, there is something deeper there that does attract things to it, the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. And so again, you have to kind of be ready for both sides of that, because you want them to have to come through. You want them to come through the gate to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
You want to make the way for, right, them to actually, right, get through. But sometimes you have to deal with the craziness that comes along with that too.
Right. And as we're going to see, the Lord has fully equipped us to deal with that.
Mm. Yes, sir.
So if you are ever experiencing fear, if you're ever experiencing like doubt, know that that is not the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I really feel to say that, because I think sometimes we give credence and we start to allow our attention to shift to the fear and the doubt and the heaviness.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're supposed to live in ignorance of it.
Right.
But that is not where our focus is to be.
Sure, sure.
Because Jesus says, take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Peter's writing to these believers, and he's talking about their living hope in 1 Peter. Mm. And then because they've given themselves to Jesus in their faith, God's love and his salvation has taken root into their heart.
Right.
And they have received the divine nature.
Right, right. And I love that Pastor Kurt again walked through those steps as he talks about phileo and agape, like, mm-hmm, and talking about how we're getting through there. And I'm pretty sure Pastor Zach preached on that segment too.
Yes, he
not
did.
Too
this
long
was
ago.
This was a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
I
it
think.
Was a couple of years. Yeah,
I think,
yeah, yeah.
I think the title was A Prescription for Fruitfulness. So you
can
go back
so
and find that.
Serious right now, Luke Rock for the win. Yeah, that was fantastic. But walking us through it again, Pastor Kurt has such a teaching plate, like, mm-hmm, a teaching, I don't know, he's settled into that so,
amen,
so beautifully.
Oh, yes.
That having him walk through the progression and see what you're adding on top of what you have, that's how you get to the love. But you've got to walk through that progression to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I loved how he brought up, he stopped to talk about the idea of being a bondservant, mm, because God has set us free. Jesus has set us free. And it's out of that freedom, out of that love, that we're like, well, I got to stay close to the master. Mm. So I willingly, mm-hmm, attach myself, mm-hmm, to Jesus.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think of like Elijah with Elisha, when Elijah throws the mantle and Elijah says, why, what did I do to you? Go back to your place. And if we want the double portion, there's part of us that has to cling on to Jesus, like Elisha clung to Elijah, just to get that extra portion.
Amen. Amen. And then Pastor Kurt brought up this idea of the great exchange. So if maybe you're not familiar with this idea, but it's, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered the world when they ate of the tree, and we were all given a sin nature. Okay, so they exchanged their likeness, that they had been made in the image of God. They had the divine nature. And because they gave that up, Satan became the ruler of this world, and they received a sin nature. Now, Jesus, being made in the same likeness as Adam, you can go read in Romans 5, he died in our place and fulfilled all of the requirements of the law. He lived a perfect life. He was without sin. And because of his death and resurrection, he defeated death. And now we can now become partakers of that divine nature through him. Mm. Now, it's really important that you understand as a believer, when you accept that gift, when you accept that free gift of salvation, Jesus comes alive inside of you and you have a new nature. You have a new nature. Now, yes, there's this working out of the old man,
right?
But it's not from a place of striving,
right,
or war. It's from this new identity in Christ. And if you can allow this truth to sink into your heart, it's going to get a lot easier for you. It is. It really is, because you know we create so much work where we feel like I have to fight against sin. Sure. And it's like, yes, there's a struggle, but the thing is, Jesus won the victory.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. And it's when you understand, oh, it's allowing the master to work in and through me. It's not about me fighting. Mm. Yeah. It's about me worshiping, yeah, by me just basking in the presence of God and allowing him to show me the areas that need to change. And then when he shines his light, I am equipped to change.
Sure. I've been saying this for the last little bit, but I think that when something comes up to the surface, that oftentimes the Lord is trying to skim it off. And so a lot of times when, you know, when people are getting angry and it's happening a lot, I think, okay, so why is that coming up? What is the Lord actually trying to take care of in that? And even what you were saying, Luke, it's like, it's not that much work because it's already coming to the surface.
Yeah.
Like the anger is already bubbling up. So why don't you actually bring it to him? If you've been depressed, that thing it's in you. It's trying to come up to the surface. Let him skim it off. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times that's why it is coming up to the surface. That's what happens when you heat gold and you heat silver. You're heating it so that the impurities rise and you scoop off the impurities. And I think that that's what the Lord is trying to make happen a lot of times in us. He's trying to actually make you approved, like pure gold.
Yes.
And we won't let him skim the impurities off the top. And so we never become pure gold. Like we're always a little tainted. We always have a little impurity because he wants to heat us up to like an uncomfortable place and then skim off the excess, the extra stuff that's on the top. But I think that is the work of the Holy Spirit, that we don't have to do that much work in that process. Mm-hmm. We just have to let ourselves,
yes,
be heat up and,
yes,
let ourselves,
yes,
be skimmed.
Amen. 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 And so this is where, you know, Pastor Kurt had four points. And the first one was you got to stay in the Word.
Yes.
You got to stay in the Word of God, the Bible. And, you know, I know at times, even me, I've fallen into like, I just need a word from the Lord right now. And God's like, well, I've given you my word.
Sure.
You need to be faithful to the word I've given you.
Sure.
You know, he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness,
yeah,
in his word.
Yeah.
So staying in the word and then, you know, taking inventory, looking at our lives.
Just going back to staying in the word. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Staying in the word is so important. Me and the Lord have been arguing a little bit about this, not really me arguing, but he's just been like wrestling me down in certain ways. And I'm telling you, it's easier. I know it seems crazy. And sometimes, like, I listen to my Bible a lot. I listen to it on the app. And I do read it, of course, in my hands. But, like, literally in the mornings, I will listen to my Bible for, like, 30 minutes, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it changes how I function throughout my day.
Yes.
Even if I don't remember what I've read, if I don't remember what, like, process through what I've actually gone through, even though I'm trying to, I am like looking to do that. But even if I don't, just staying in the word helps me to sin less.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Like, amen.
And I feel like people don't quite realize that. Again, normally the excuse, like your excuse before, was I don't have time. Here it's like, well, I don't understand, so I just don't read it. That does not matter. It is feeding something in your spirit.
Amen.
And if you feed your spirit, it will grow and be able to conquer the thing that used to conquer you.
Amen. And that's why it's important to understand that the Bible is not just another book.
Right.
These are the words of God, the inspired words of God, and they feed our spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if your mind is slow, your spirit in your new nature is not. It is quickened.
Right.
And Pastor Kurt said, invite the Holy Spirit to the process. Holy Spirit, I am going to partake of your word now. I'm partaking of the word of life. Impart to me what it is that I need. Cause my mind to stop on the phrases and the truth that I need for today.
Yes, sir. And he will.
Amen. Yeah. So we take inventory. And we get that from the word of God. The word of God starts to, oh, wow, like my life isn't lining up in this way.
Right.
And then it kind of leads into point number three, which is receiving correction. And that God has this corrective pattern. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been wanting to talk about this.
This was so good. And Pastor, and I just to clarify, again, the Lord does correct those who he loves. He disciplines those who he loves, okay? And so I was saying this, again, the Lord started to give me this as I was at King's Academy teaching last year, that he does not punish for the sake of punishment. Mm-hmm. He disciplines for the sake of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
He's not punishing you, quote-unquote punishing you, because he wants you to feel punished. He's disciplining you because he wants you to be disciplined.
Right.
And that's why we as parents discipline.
Yes.
All right. I never want to just punish. I'm trying to discipline. I'm trying to put something in. And I think when you take a perspective, a backseat like that, when it's like, no, he's a good father.
Yes.
And he's disciplining for the sake of discipline being when you don't have it inside of yourself, he's got to put it in you. And that's why he disciplines you. And so going into Matthew 18, I thought that this is so great, Pastor Kurt. Kudos. That he was saying that the Lord actually corrects us in line with the Matthew 18 principle. So, of course, first you come to your brother, and then if they don't receive you, you come with two or three more. And then if they don't receive you, then you go to the church and you let the church know, and it's dealt with that way. And he was talking about how the Lord kind of corrects you in that way. He always trying to get your attention on the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, and we're waiting to get to church on Sunday. Well, he's already tried to tell you six times throughout the week. So now he's bringing two or three other people, prophets, whatever, pastors, whatever, to come to you to let you know, okay, the Lord is not pleased right here. You got to get this thing right.
Well, and that's what's so important that we take stock of, is that God is, as a father, loves us.
Yeah.
So he's invested in your perfection.
Absolutely.
He's invested in making you look like Jesus.
Yeah.
He won't stop until you look like Jesus.
Yeah.
And whether that's, you know, here on this earth, the more you cooperate, you're gonna see the kingdom of God come in your own life.
Yes.
But it's gonna come into 100% fulfillment that day when you see him face to face and you are transformed completely because your body of sin is removed from you.
Right? Gone.
You know, Hebrews 12. And Pastor Kurt did reference this in verse 7. The writer says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever?
Amen.
Amen.
Nothing to add to that.
Amen. And so, and then we come to that fourth point where Kurt says it's we now make adjustments. And he said, you know, we've overcomplicated spirituality. We truly have. And when you understand that the divine nature that you have received It wasn't because of anything you did. Mm. It wasn't because of anything I did. Mm. I received it. And now it really is just me sitting back and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me in this process of transformation.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Otherwise, again, it's just like changing your clothes. It's not really transformation. It's just change. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to have transformation.
And so we have these steps, because there are practical steps, sure. which I appreciate.
Always.
So we add to our faith virtue, which is moral goodness or excellence. And we add disciplines to our life, like reading our Bible, like prayer, but like talking with one another so that we can grow together as a body. I think it's important that we understand that we don't do this by ourselves.
Yeah. That's dangerous, doing it by yourself. Because then the only thoughts you have are the thoughts floating around your own head.
And even the importance of, you know, knowledge, of growing in an understanding of the word.
Yeah, sure. Right, like dwelling. And I think Pastor Kurt's references to dwelling with your wife according to knowledge. I always tell young couples that are like getting engaged and stuff, like you need to know one another and want to know one another more. And again, I think that that's a beautiful picture of what is supposed to happen with us and Jesus. It's, I want to know you and I want to know you more.
Yes.
And I think that that is a really actual, a place in our knowledge, that in our minds, when we grasp certain things, it's like, you can't get rid of that. Like, that's something that you have forever. It's not just a goosebump feeling. It's something that you can hold on to.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's self-control. Mm. Now, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Mm. So I find it interesting that it's as we have these disciplines of getting in the Word, of focusing our attention on Jesus, that we start to, because I think that there's this natural progression that from that place of growing in the Word and intimacy, you're going to start to develop self-control. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit inside of you is prompting you to do that. Mm-hmm. I was actually on Sunday, I was giving a ride to one of the young adults, and he's a newer believer. And he was just so simply and so innocently, like just sharing about his, you know, his desires and his heart at this time. Mm-hmm. And he was saying how, yeah, you know, what I've been really thinking about is like, there's a lot of like difficult people in my life. And I just like don't want to like lash out at them. I don't want to, but I, you know, I'm starting to like not want to do that. And I was explaining like, yeah, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Mm. And it was just so amazing to me to see how, wow, like 3 months ago, that wouldn't have been his heart.
Right.
He wouldn't even have had an awareness of this.
Right.
That's why if you're not around new believers, you got to be around new believers, because after being in this for so long, for so many years, I think sometimes like we don't appreciate.
Yeah, we're callous to the process.
Right. And
yeah.
we can start to think I'm the one that's developing the self-control, when it's like, no, the Holy Spirit is developing that self-control within you. It's like you see like a big oak tree. That oak tree was once young and small and could break. And it's the same with us. You know, as the Lord builds us up spiritually, it's important that we remember, wow, I was once small.
Yeah.
I was a baby.
Yeah.
And in a sense, I'm still a baby spiritually, and I need the pure milk of the Word.
Yeah, I think we don't think so much about what's actually growing, but you're always bearing some level of fruit, right? Mm-hmm. And I think back to James. James, which is not completely connected, but James says, but each one, when he's tempted, he's carried away and enticed by his own lust.
Yes.
And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see the lust conceiving, the lust seed goes into the ground. And because it's cultivated, because it's actually fed, it actually makes a tree that leads to death. The fruit on that tree is leading us to sin and death.
Right.
And I think that it's the same thing as you're planting in, as you're having self-control, as you're then making the adjustments, as you're repenting and burning the whole thing down, burning down the whole field. Again, another Elisha moment. I'm going to burn the plow that I'm using to work here, and I'm going to go and get rid. Like, that was literally Elisha repented. Like, sincerely in that way. But what he was cultivating in that moment, he planted a seed for things. Now, the Lord had already prophesied that he's going to be the prophet, the next prophet, but something is growing inside of him so that when he gets to where he needs to be, there is fruit to sustain him and other people when he gets there. And I think that, again, with the young adult that you're riding with, that's not just a fruit that's going to sustain them.
Right.
The self-control that they're experiencing now will sustain the next generation, will sustain the people in their family that are difficult, are going to see the self-control and eat off of that and taste and see that God is good.
Amen. And that's why it's so important that we understand that our transformation, it impacts not just us, but generations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. At least it should.
And that should excite us.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And if it doesn't excite you, explore that with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because it should. It's not just about me.
Right. Right. You're not being fruitful if it's just about you.
Amen. And I will say this. The more I have encountered the Lord, the more the Lord has revealed himself to me, I am amazed at how my heart gets transformed in a way where it causes me to, I now see people differently.
Yeah.
And I have a heart towards people that I know my natural tendencies.
Yes,
and that was not Luke.
Right.
That is not how Luke in his sin would see that person.
Sure. And the Luke of 25 years ago. And I know that Luke.
Oh, and the Jamal.
Oh, no. We won't talk about the Jamal. He needs some help.
But just that, and this is why it's so important that we are reconciled to one another. Because when you have division, you lose sight of where the other person is.
Sure.
And when we remain with one another, when we bear with one another, like Paul says, we see ourselves growing up into fruitfulness together.
Absolutely.
And that is the heart of the Father.
Yeah. Yeah. A family tree.
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That was your message.
A throwback.
And then out of this self-control towards sin, towards those inclinations where the enemy tries to come in, we develop perseverance. And this is what we need, because we are still in a battle. We are still we have a mission to accomplish now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And in that mission, you got to persevere.
Yep.
You got to persevere. But the thing is, look at how far you've come.
Right. Yeah.
And from that journey, from that awareness that Jesus is in my boat, Jesus is the one who's done everything, I develop that faith and that commitment to persevere.
Sure. Absolutely. Again, Miss Donna Ide came up to me a couple of Tuesday nights ago. I think it was Tuesday night. And she was talking about being a soldier in the armor of the Lord and like how that song has been stuck in her head. And I do think that that's part of what they're doing when they train you in the army, is they're trying to get you to have self-control, control over the fear to run away, control over, right? And so they're trying to plant that seed inside of you so that you have perseverance when you stand in the face of trials. Like when you stand in the face of the enemy, you have perseverance because self-control has birthed that, because you can pull back your own response in the face of fear.
Amen.
So become a soldier, friends. Like enlist in the army.
Amen. And then we add to our perseverance godliness. Mm. And again, it's the Holy Spirit working this out in me. But it's that natural result. And I think part of how we start to add godliness after perseverance is because we start to identify with Jesus in his suffering and his call. You know, he came down and he endured the cross for us. And like he had his face set towards Jerusalem. He knew his time had come. He knew what he was going to have to face. And he did it. He persevered. And it's when we identify with him, like Paul says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We understand, and we now are able to represent him more fully and completely to the world.
Yeah, completely.
Amen.
I got nothing on that. Like, that was so good.
Amen. Well, so good. Our time's wrapping up, but is there what would be a final encouragement that you have for us today?
Remember that the weapons that you fight with are not carnal. Mm. They are mighty.
Amen.
I always go back to the song, All I Did Was Praise. Mm. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stay still.
Yes.
That's my encouragement, friends. As a child of God, as a soldier in the army, learn that those are your most effective weapons. That you stay grounded in the word, and stay desirous of his presence, and stay wanting to know him and know him more.
Amen.
And you will bear fruit, and much fruit, and fruit that remains for many generations. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Would you pray for us?
Sure. Lord, we thank you for what you've taught us. We thank you for you being such a good father that you're disciplining us for the sake of discipline in us. And I pray that you would bind us together with cords that cannot be broken, that you would give us a love that is so deep that the world looks and desperately needs what we have and knows that they desperately need it. And I pray that you would help us prepare to be your sanctuary, you living inside of us. And as Pastor Zach said, that the fire that lives in us, in our sanctuary, in our tabernacle, that the wind would come and blow and burn the whole thing down, that we would repent just like Elisha, with nothing to repent for, just repent, burn it down, and walk towards Jesus and chase after him forever. God, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us, Jamal.
Thanks for having me. Love you, Luke.
And everybody, I'm Luke. That's The Breakdown. We'll see you on Sunday.
Peace out. Can't count on